11:30 to noon, so we'll take more comments. Let me shift over and talk about the congressional race, if I can. 10 years you've been a councilman.
Correct.
And now you want to be a House of Representatives, you want to be a congressperson. Why?
Well, a few things. One is I believe having local government experience plus private sector high-tech experience for this area is a unique combination. Plus, being elected to the city council 3 times, I've been able to show fiscal pragmatism and independence. And I believe that's something that we need very much so in Washington. And
how do you accomplish that as an individual, though?
As an individual, you put your best foot forward and you vote for what's right, even though it may be a difficult vote to take. You know, for example, the national debt is continuing to grow at such a high rate that it will change the future course of this country and affect our young people. And I think, you know, there are bipartisan proposals out there, but people are unwilling to make those hard votes, and I'll make those hard votes. I've hosted the Concord Coalition and the movie IOUSA at City Hall, and people are concerned about it, and I think the rest of the candidates aren't even touching the issue.
I'm looking at a letter that you wrote, and you said, I will never miss a vote, promise to record meetings with lobbyists for public viewing, and will give back $10,000 of my taxpayer-funded salary to community causes such as cat and dog rescue groups and planting trees. How can you possibly say you'll never miss a vote?
Well, that's what I'd be elected to do.
I don't think anybody has ever not missed them.
I will plant myself in those seats, and outside of a funeral or major life event, I will never miss a vote. I've never missed a city council meeting in 10 years, and I'll never miss a vote. And to your point, I will record meetings with lobbyists so people can watch the inner workings of government and see what's actually happening. So they'll know what the oil industry, the finance industry is telling members of Congress.
Apparently, you're in your 10th year in San Jose Council, elected 3 times. You're known as an independent and very fiscally pragmatic. So you're a Democrat or Republican?
I'm a registered Democrat and a lifelong Democrat.
Therefore, you support Hillary Clinton, I presume?
That's a two-part answer.
Yeah.
For the June primary, as a Democratic voter, I'll be supporting Bernie Sanders because he is honest and he's been saying the same thing consistently for decades, so you know what you get. When it comes to November and I have a broader selection, I'm very interested in the two former governors running under the Libertarian ticket.
You and I both, Gary Johnson.
Because they espouse many of the things I'm for. I'm socially progressive. I support a woman's right to choose and gay marriage and other things of that matter. However, I'm a fiscal hawk, and I really believe we have to tackle the deficit, and government should be contained, and that's what those two gentlemen were talking about the other night on television.
I got to ask a question that I think you're really going to like, but I've got to ask the question. I've known you for 20 minutes or something. You're intelligent. You have points of view that I agree with. I don't think you're ever going to be able to never miss a vote in Congress, but that's secondary because you still have to serve the district, run back and forth, do that. But why have you not gotten the attention that the other two guys have gotten?
I'm not in bed with special interest groups, labor unions, or the billionaire class. Right? I'm here to, as I've done in my job in local government, I've served the residents. And unfortunately, as you know, when you get up to higher office, it's all about the money. And I'm not going to be able to compete with millions of dollars. But given the opportunity in the press or candidate forums, I do well. We had a great candidate forum in Fremont, and it went fantastic.
Yeah, but if you don't have the money, and in that case you can't compete, why are you competing?
Well, let's get these two people that are spending millions of dollars telling the voters how terrible each other is in all capacities, and instead let get them to talk about the issues.
When you discussed your political philosophy, you sounded very much like a libertarian. How come you're a libertarian, not libertarian as opposed to Democrat?
You know, I'm a lifelong Democrat. My parents are, you know, retired teachers, Democrats. It's the party I've affiliated. The Democratic Party is a large tent party. It should be able to accommodate people that are socially progressive but fiscally conservative. I've actually been elected to the Democratic Central Committee by thousands of Democratic voters in my assembly district twice. And I believe they're, you know, like the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, not all of it fits individuals. And, you know, that's why we see the rise of the decline of states in California, right? They people that are just want independent, pragmatic people that are common sense oriented.
808-0810 is our number, 808-0810. Pier Luigi Oliverio is in the studio, would like to be the congressperson from, what is it, the 17th?
17th district.
That's what I thought. All right. Now, one of the things you want, equal pay for women, mentally ill people. Military veterans. I mean, this is like mom and apple pie. Every candidate has said that. Why are you different?
It's a fair question, Ron. I understood you had one of the candidates on that said, hey, I'm against traffic.
Yeah.
You know, wow, going out on a limb there, huh?
Well, I was having fun with it.
But you know, but here's the deal. When you're at the local government level and you see problems with homeless, and you understand that these are individuals that are mentally ill that can't take care of themselves, then clearly we need to go back to the model where we have facilities where we can take these people off the streets, provide them the medical care and attention they need so that they don't interfere with law enforcement, which often ends up in deadly situations and creates a lot of problems for cities. And I think there are steps that the federal government can take to do that. And that's where I think having local government experience is so important.
If you would like to chat with him, maybe you got a question about him representing you in the 17th District, just in general, Pier Luigi Oliverio is in the studio. 808-0810, Ron Owens, KGO 1042. And we're joined by Pier Luigi Oliverio. He is a candidate for congressperson in the 17th District. Dana has just sent a text and says Congress members have to devote 30 hours a week just to raise money for the party and to get reelected. What are you going to do about that? You're the one who said you'll never miss a vote.
It's ridiculous. And it was on 60 Minutes, and I completely concur. And that's why we need residents need to wise up. Voters need to wise up and elect members of Congress that aren't raising millions of dollars to begin with, that aren't beholden to the trough of money that comes from the billionaire class, unions, special.
So you want to be a one-term congressman?
Well, you know, I've actually done something. I've self-imposed a term limit on myself. I pledged to not serve more than 10 years. 10 years, I'm out.
That still means you got to get reelected at 4 times.
I'm confident, given the opportunity to be on the radio, to share my views with the voters, that I would get reelected.
All right, let's take some
calls. Lifetime politicians are not ideal.
Okay, why don't we start off with Jeffrey in Mountain View. Jeffrey, good morning.
Oh, my God, I got on before Rama. Hey, your guest is just resonating with me right on down the line. I wish I could vote for him. I wish he was my district. But anyway, I was wondering, you know, first of all, question number one is how many people in Congress are of a true libertarian bent? And I also want to clarify something for the low-information voters out there that might be listening, is the Tea Party people, I call them nincompoops, but maybe I'm being a little harsh, but they're not libertarians. A true Jeffersonian libertarian, which I consider myself to be, and if somebody doesn't know what that is, they can look it up, is what Gary Johnson is. And he resonates all the way down the line, and your guest is resonating all the way down the line, and damn, I wish I could vote for your guest.
Well, I'm sure you appreciate
that. Thank you.
I'm sure you like that part. The problem, and I've said this before, Libertarian Party, ACLU, they have one thing in common. If you can't find something that they stand for that you really agree with and really disagree with, then you're not thinking. Now, one of the things you're also saying is you're talking about money and you want to lower income taxes. That's going out on a rail. That's close to traffic. But, oh, well, not really. Bernie wants more. So I guess that's it. You want to lower income taxes and maintain the home mortgage deduction. So what rate are you going to use? Are you talking flat tax? Are you talking a value-added tax? What?
Well, first of all, the home mortgage deduction seems to always be attacked every year, and I believe that's a very strong foundation.
It's a third rail issue.
Yeah, you've got to keep it. You've got to keep it. Secondarily, I believe in taxing things you want to dissuade and lowering taxes on things you want to promote. I want to promote savings and spendings by the consumer, so that means lower income taxes. At the same time, you'd offset that by actually taxing things that you want to dissuade, like the cost of gasoline, right? You shouldn't have people driving Hummers left and right. You should have people driving fuel-efficient cars.
And then all of a sudden you don't expect it, and there's a war, and where's that money going to come from?
Well, listen, this country's so in debt and printing money and has already raided the Social Security Trust Fund. But in the end, when times are peaceful...
So you're saying we're just going to go print more money if there's a crisis?
That's what we do all the time. You know that. So, when we can, we need to be thoughtful and look at, you know, I think we should have a balanced budget amendment. I think the budget should be balanced outside of war or catastrophe. We should balance the budget every year.
And the line item veto would be better.
I'll support that as well.
Okay. You also don't want to pay Congress until it fortifies Social Security.
Correct.
Here again. What do you mean by fortify? You put it in a lockbox?
Well, we
I
know
heard that somewhere.
Al Gore, I'm going to put it in a lockbox. So here, you know, as we know, that's been raided. All those that are sitting there is an IOU. But what we have to realize is that people my age, that retirement age needs to be increased. And if you want the system to last, you need to manage that in a stepped level of increasing the retirement age for younger people. And at the same time, making sure it's solvent. But what I don't want to do is listen. These problems have been perpetual for decades with Congress, and nothing has gotten solved. So I think we need to agree as collectively here's an issue, let's solve it. And if the Congress doesn't meet a certain date, you withhold their pay.
You don't think they're running for the money to begin with. I mean, if you get raising millions and millions of dollars, what's Congress now, 185 or something like that?
174.
174. They're not running for that. You withhold their pay, they're still going to do well.
We've seen it work at the California legislature.
All right. Works well.
No, with the California legislature, doesn't get paid unless they pass a budget on time.
Yeah, actually, we did get one this time.
Yeah, so that time. When you affect people's pay,
we'll point well taken. Yep. You were right. Terrence is in San Jose. Hey, Terrence, good morning.
Good morning, Ron and Pierre. I was curious, why did the city council throw out the will of the voters on the big pension reform, and what was your stance on it?
So what the caller's referring to is Measure B, our pension reform, that was passed by over 70% of the voters. We have an unsustainable pension system in the city of San Jose where annual pension payments exceed all property tax receipts, which is our number one source of revenue. So for homeowners in San Jose, if you're paying property tax, none of that is going to turn on a streetlight or paving a road or paying for the salary of a librarian. And so voters passed that, and the city council voted to basically start the process of throwing it out. And I don't believe that's right, regardless of the issue.
Throwing it out, in other words, what?
Through the court system. They were invalidating the measure that the voters passed. And my belief is, regardless of the issue, if the voters amended the charter, it's the voters that should change it back. Well, we shouldn't throw it out.
Realistically, when it comes to any kind of a pension or pension reform, number one, you got to pay the people who are ready for it. I mean, you've promised it to them. They got to get their money. You reform everything after that.
And Ron, that's why I initiated Measure W that passed with 74% in 2010, I believe. And that allowed us to have what's called a second-tier pension, meaning paying you something different than the benefit of today. When the average 401k in this country is a 3 to 6% match, but the pension system in San Jose is a 250% match, something is wrong. And that's why my private sector experience realizes me to see what the disparities are.
Jim in Aptos. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, good morning. Well, the main question that I have is this. You say you're a fiscal conservative, you're a fiscal hawk, and I appreciate that. I just don't know how you reconcile that with Bernie Sanders, the programs that he's promoting. How are you going to pay for those?
So that's a fair question. And again, as a Democratic voter, the only choices on my ballot in June are for Hillary or Bernie. And so based on those two, I'm choosing Bernie because, again, he's consistent. And he's honest.
But he's going to spend more money than Hillary.
And then I have another choice in November. And that's where I'm very interested in seeing the two former governors that are running under the Libertarian ticket, because those two are closer to my viewpoints of life. You know, every individual can do whatever they want in their own bedroom. I don't need to be there. But when it comes to financial issues, I can't spend more money. That's not in my wallet.
How do you reconcile the fact that as a freshman, you're not going to have a lot of influence in Congress?
I would say that I will tackle this job with all energy, and I think that given the opportunity, I would excel, both in serving the residents of the 17th District and working with colleagues on both sides.
But how do you serve the residents of the district if you're not going to, if you're every vote you're going to take? Well, some take place on Fridays, some on Mondays. You're going to have to come back to your district.
I'm a young man, I'm healthy, and I will travel and, the amount of time I'm allotted, but I view it as my responsibility that if they elect me to vote, then I must be there to vote. And otherwise, through internet and other ways, I can speak to people in live video chats and tell them, hey, here's what's going on, and this is why I can't make your event this weekend, because I'm voting in Congress to make sure the country is solvent in the future.
Pierre, very nice to meet you.
Pleasure.
Very nice job. Very impressive. We'll continue. When we come back, we're going to take a little break and talk about work and weight. And then we'll, from 11:30 till noon, continue talking about San Jose and what happened and what he is.